Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello and welcome to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you virtually. Jordana, how are you? What's happening?
I'm good. Life's good. My hair is still straight. And my pool,
thank goodness.
The pool at my apartment building has opened. So I'm excited about that.
That is something that could make half the audience turn off the podcast right now.
Right now.
Knowing that you have a pool, you're like, oh, the national atrocity is over. The pool is finally open.
Started to reopen.
I mean, that's got to be why you moved there in the first place.
That was why I agreed to move to Brooklyn.
That was it, the pool. And you're like, when it's hot in the summer, I'll be out there. So are you using it? What's the pool culture like? Because to those that don't live in New York City, having a pool in New York City, that's unheard.
It's rare.
It is rare. Yeah.
Yeah. I specifically chose this building for that thing, which looking back is kind of dumb, but here we are.
Well, I don't think it's dumb. I mean, I've said multiple times on my podcast where I'm like looking out the window and I see the East River and I'm like, all I want to do is just dunk my head. Like when it's hot here, it is hot.
It's like the cement steams.
Oh, and the cement of my balls just cemented to the side of my leg.
Exactly.
So what's the pool?
So you have
culture?
To reserve a time.
So you get like is there 2 hours? Is there a maximum?
Yeah. So basically it's like 90, it's 90 minute like reservation time. So you can reserve. And then in between, after every 90 minutes, everyone has to leave and then they clean everything and then they let the next group of people in. So it's like not like a, you're telling you could be there all day. I mean, you could if you signed up for every block of time.
This is very COVID.
Yeah. And they only let a certain amount of people, you know, like.
I get it. I mean,
but it's still pretty nice.
I mean, listen, having any amount. I mean, at that point, you plan your day around it.
Right.
Like you're like, oh, we got our. But you couldn't just run up there, take a dip, get out, go straight back to the elevator, go back to your apartment.
You could if you signed up for a certain time.
Yeah, this wouldn't work. I mean,
you're too spontaneous for this.
I don't know if I would be able to.
Or if you went and no one was, and there was just not that many people there and you could just walk in. Like if you can only not go in whenever you want if it's full. But
is there a lifeguard on duty?
Yeah, there's always a lifeguard. It's not it's New York City. It's still not like a huge, like incredible pool. It's like a smallish pool. It's not that deep.
No, listen, I mean, anything is good in New York City as far as like, I would take, you know, a glass of water poured over my head in a public area at this point.
You could charge for that.
For those listening to their first episode of the U Up podcast, this isn't about, are we up for going to the pool today? But we digress. But if you are new, this is the general vibe. Luxury issues. That's what we discuss. Dating issues, dating problems. We're going to get into it today, but I'm very interested about this pool situation. I mean, New York City pool, that is.
Yeah. I mean, once hopefully this COVID situation ends, you can come as my guest.
Oh, okay. The invite has been recorded.
It's extended.
People at home have heard it. Okay, good. I will take you up. What if I just showed up with my towel and like the zinc
your
on my nose,
and
my snorkel,
your, floaties,
my floaties? Hey, I'm here. What are you doing?
Now they're
here?
They don't let you bring guests. Right? Usually, you're allowed to bring guests, but due to like the the limited space and everything, they don't let you bring one. So I would have to send you home across the Williamsburg Bridge, where I saw that you.
I'm a big Williamsburg Bridge Instagram walker now. Love walking it.
And yet you've never come to visit.
COVID, can't get too close. The COVID is the ultimate excuse. I I have a feeling certain buildings will have no guest policies for the next decade. They'll be like, listen, we can't. It's not. It's a great built-in excuse, except especially for a pool person like yourself, which now that everyone that listens knows, we know who to call on a hot summer New York City day. Everything else okay otherwise?
Yeah. Life is good in general.
Listen, for the listeners at home, we're very excited to keep doing this podcast. All you got to do is tell a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. Let someone know. Give the gift of you up this summer, because lots of you, you know, when you have your 90 minutes of pool time that you're allotted, a week, you need something to listen to. You need somebody in your head. Let Jordana and I, you know, take the wheel for a second. There's a lot of pressures in the world. We're going to give you an hour and a half of good-natured fun. So spread the word. Let people know. Make it your Instagram story. That's how podcasts work. That's how you pay us. That's how you pay us for the podcast. You tell someone about it. Right,
exactly.
Jordana?
Exactly. Rate, review, and subscribe. Jared, what do you have coming up?
I am doing something very special, and I wanted to announce it here.
Let's hear.
Charleston, South Carolina. You ever been?
I wanted to go when we went to South Carolina. We were on the way back, but it was just like not happening. It's like it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, we should go on the way back, yeah, but like you're not going to go on the way back.
then you find out it's like an hour off the highway, and you're like, "There's no way."
Yeah, but I heard it was. I heard it's like one of the best cities in like that area. So I was upset that I didn't get to go.
Charleston, and obviously this is all COVID allowing, but Charleston's a great city, and it's a fun time, walkable. The restaurants great. Great food,
I heard
culture.
It's just beautiful. Like, looks
beautiful.
Really nice.
The beach is like a half hour, 40 minutes away. Folly Beach. And I'm sure there's other names of beaches that people like. Whatever. Because my summer has somewhat opened up due to lack of shows. And you got to find a venue. That's the biggest thing. Like, you have to find a place that you can do a safe, fun show. So
it's outdoors, right?
Outdoors. So my buddy is one of the owners of Uptown Social, which is like Hair of the Dog, 13th Step. They have bars in New York City too. So Uptown Social is a fun, awesome bar. And they just opened a thing they call, I think, The Lot. And The Lot is an outdoor venue. And it's got 90 seats. And we're going to do a show there. My buddy Nimesh Patel and I, Nimesh has written for SNL. And I have not, but him and I are going to do a show.
You've written for Betches.com.
I've written for Betches.com just as, good a resume item. So Charleston, South Carolina, August 18th and 9th, or August, not the one chance I had to say the date. Now I'm going to get 30 DMs. August 19th and 20th. That's a Wednesday and Thursday night. You can plan a beach weekend. It's going to be socially distanced. It's going to be outdoors. There's only 90 seats per show. Right now, it's Nimesh and I, and what I'm doing is I'm opening it up to other comics because there's just so few places to get on stage. So
it's a great idea.
So we're calling it the Funny Festival, and that might just be just Nimesh and I. But if there might be some other comics that show up. I don't know. I'm kind of have the mentality, if I build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I actually feel like that's a good, because I found with a lot of COVID stuff, it's like much easier to latch on to like a plan that someone else has made.
Yes.
Rather than having to start from scratch into creating your own fun thing to do.
I'm the baker who's making the bread from scratch, and I'm letting everyone eat some of my bread if they choose to. So my feeling is I can get, you know, from this podcast, I can get two shows of 90 people each. You know, like I could get those people to show up in Charleston. And to the people listening, you can make it your beach weekend. You can get an Airbnb in the town. We're all looking for summer things that, like, a reason to drive somewhere. A little local-ish. And listen, I'm not going to force anyone to come. I'm not begging anyone. I'm going to have a fun time either way. But right now, it'll be a comedy show Wednesday and Thursday night, Uptown Social. If you go, it'll be all over my Instagram, August 19th and 20th. It's a Wednesday and Thursday night. Then you can like stay the weekend or you can leave. I don't know what you're going to fucking do. But I'm right now planning your weekend. But I'm saying we're like a month out, a little bit less than a month out. I mean, I say this to Jess every day. I don't know if you do this where you're like, let's go somewhere. Let's do something. And then you look at it like an Airbnb and you're like, I don't know. What are we going to do? We don't even know where the beach is. Jess is going to come with me and we're going to like spend a lot of time down there. And, you know, we're going to do a show and the show will be fun. They have like, they're set up for a show in this lot. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. So tickets are on my Instagram and yeah, I would invite anyone who's in the area ish to make it, you know, come on down. It'll be a fun night and it's going to be loose and we'll figure it out. But, so that's what I'm doing. So,
Well, I miss your stand up. If I were still in South Carolina, I would be there.
Well, totes preach. Yeah, and this is the thing, like for comics, like what sucks is like I'm used to going on stage every single night and being around other comics and like getting to work on bits and I have been doing a little here and there, but like it's just, you know, you're kind of looking for that. I think for a lot of comics, they're looking for that hang, that you know, to see other comedians, to be able to go up and do your time, come down, feel like you've worked on something and have a reason to go somewhere. So I'm trying to extend that to other comics. So right now it's two. Maybe it'll get bigger. What are we talking about today, Jordana?
Today we are taking a leap from an episode we did a few weeks ago about people who are always in relationships or not in relationships. And today we're talking about why some people are always the dumpers while others are always the dumpees.
Well, now what was the feedback from now that episode was very popular. It felt like a lot of people kind of saw eye to eye with I'm always the relationship person or I'm always the single person. Did you get a vibe from emails that did you hear feedback
that people
from that
related
one?
To that? Yeah. I mean, I personally relate to that. So I feel like, and again, like you're 10% away from guys. I feel like
absolutely.
I mean, there wasn't really even female specific, but I definitely like could have related to that. It was definitely something that frustrated me back in the day. And dating to me always kind of seemed like something that other people had like figured out and I hadn't like figured it out. Like almost like any other almost like skill. Like I would always think of it like, you know, and that's why, I mean, that's part of the reason I am involved in this podcast is like, this has been a lifelong thing of like, what is like the way to do it that everyone else seems to have this.
But you know, what's funny to me is that I don't know if I said this on that episode with this, like, I'm always single, I'm always in a relationship, that there's like an assumption that one of those is right, which like I've never really thought that way. And I think a lot of guys aren't trained to look through relationships from that angle, if that makes any sense.
In terms of it being like something that you sort of need to have a complete life?
Well, that I think putting it that way, yes, I think like for a lot of people, like just like people, the completion of life is like being able to have children and being in a happy marriage. I think that's a very normal thing for a lot of people, and especially people that listen to this podcast. But I think the idea, and I say this a lot, women compete with their level of relationships. The idea that the person at the brunch is the woman at the brunch who's married is winning, that is not the case when a group of men get together for brunch.
Well, what is considered winning when a group of men get together for brunch? Is it career stuff? Is it who's making the most money? Is it
I don't know.
What guy do you look at and you're like,
that guy's
kind of like
figured out?
Yeah.
I guess it would be job related. I guess there's a few people that I look at and I'm like, but I don't know. I guess there's a few guys that I would look at and go, wow, it seems like life is more of a paved road for them. But it would also be that in a good way. That's what I mean. Like things are smoother, you know. But I would always, that always relates to like career, job. Oh, they're doing well. They're killing it. You know, like I think the idea of they're killing it, you know, like
right.
That's kind of a male thing. I the I try to think of that brunch table scenario because that's kind of like a, you know, a meeting place for anybody. You know, that's where kind of like the dynamic is most public. And I've been at brunch and like the guy who talks about hooking up, like a hookup story, that right. story is more front and center and not seen as a sad situation to the guy. That might not be the case. I know sad situation, but I'm saying like,
You're saying. Right. Well, and sometimes when a girl does it, it's almost like that's so funny. Like this person's so funny, but like, I don't want to like be doing that.
Sure. You know what that's what
no
I'm talking.
No one's ever like, I wish like I just like went out and like had sex with a random guy and then like had to wonder again if he's like ever going to text me. Like, no one's missing that after they don't do that anymore.
Well, I would say this. This is kind of I had this discussion with a friend of mine recently. I'd like to hear what you think. I've been doing, this does promote me, but also hopefully brings up a fruitful discussion, is I've been doing these charcuterie chats. You know, I have a big opinion on charcuterie. Now, I figured out TikTok a little bit. Remember I told you I was like TikTok, I'm like trying to figure it out. I don't know how I'm funny there. Well, I'm starting to get better.
You've got the bride thing down.
I got
pat.
The bride. Well, so this is
You spend a few days in the Betches Brides Facebook group and now you completely understand the mentality of a
we might have to cut that out. I'm there watching. So I'm just a fan of the Betches Brides Facebook group. I would say so I've kind of figured out how to like edit a video together. So it's funny because I've been yelling about charcuterie. It started as me writing over a picture of charcuterie. Then it turned into videos. And now the technology has caught up to my charcuterie chats because now celebrities, Mindy Kaling, put out a charcuterie and I see it and I can like put a video together where I'm like, let's take a look. And then I show it on TikTok and then I edit to my opinion. So
you're like the who's the mean chef?
One who's Gordon like always Ramsay? Like,
yeah, you're like the Gordon Ramsay of like sure, like terrible. Get it out of my face. Yeah.
Well, I like to think that there's a nuanced opinion other than just terrible. And one of them was Olivia Culpo, she's a former Miss USA and a big personality.
Okay. Famous. So, right.
Famous person, Olivia Culpo, who saw it and laughed at it and thought it was funny. But the premise of her charcuterie chat was to say, she posted her charcuterie and then there was a post, she posted it and it was pretty good. And then the next post said literally something along the lines of, look what I put together from the things in my fridge. And I was like, my response to that was, this wasn't just in your fridge. Like the idea that you just rummage through your fridge and put together the perfect charcuterie board is insane. That's it. And I think sometimes, and this is my perspective as a guy, I never deal with this unrealistic lifestyle standard. Like I don't deal, like it feels like a lot of women. So my point is like the idea that Olivia Culpo is both Miss Rhode Island, Miss USA, dates football players, a huge famous star, perfect outfit, and then her fridge just on a whim happens to have all the ingredients for a perfect charcuterie board. If I was a woman sitting at home, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like this is like, how do I even compete with that? And I'm not saying that's fair or good. I'm just saying it's human to look at that in a picture and go, you just rummage through your, and I post, and that was like the premise. I was like, and I opened my fridge. I was like, if I made a charcuterie board for my fridge, it'd be condiments and pickles. And I'm like, that's a realistic rummaging through my fridge and making the board. So, and then the response, not from everyone, people liked it and thought it was funny, but there was a few women that were like, but I do have this in my fridge. And it's like, no, every day you have a charcuterie board that's perfect in your fridge. Like there is this like, to me, and I don't want to sound a certain way, and you can tell me if I do, But to me, there's this like, there's this polished veneer of a relationship being put out there. And this is not, you know, new to say that like the perfect thing is put on Instagram, but the idea that like, there's never like a, that like, that if you're in a relationship, you are good. Like I, there is this like as far as like being at the brunch table and someone's like, well, I had this hookup, and you'd be like, I wouldn't want to be her. But then someone else is like, well, I have, we put out the charcuterie and there was the best wine, and little Sawyer, my son, was dressed as a sailor because he's always right. in the perfect outfit every day. And I'm like, I don't have that viewpoint of like some guy in my life who's like always, every single part of life has it kind of down pat. And I don't mean to like ramble at this point.
So what you're saying is just that like we have a sort of glorified view of like what these situations are, like what's the ultimate.
Yeah. The takeaway is that it feels like there are these like manicured visions of what mm-hmm. people have because they have certain things.
Right. And I think obviously social media plays like a huge part in that, because like you sure. can put up like the best part, the most polished parts of your thing. You can put up the picture, the one picture out of 80 where like everything looks great.
But if I saw like if a guy told me he's in a relationship, I would go, well, all right, cool. You know, for him. And like he's got to fuck the same chick all the time.
You don't have I said it. You don't have like this feeling of like, oh, we must be like so happy and like
being in a relationship doesn't mean you're good to me.
Well, here's the thing. It seems here's I think the thing that maybe like you're not considering is like there is a thought of like, okay, even if it's not like perfect, at least you're in the game, right? Again, like I related to, let's say call it careers, right? Like
sure.
you could have I could see a person who has a job that like isn't perfect, or I don't know that much about, but looks kind of cool, right? And I might think it like is the coolest job.
Yeah.
And that there's like actually a lot of annoying shit that goes along with being in that job that like I don't even really know about. But even if I knew about it, I'm still kind of like, at least that person's in the game.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
At least they're
that.
Working towards the thing that I like am interested in.
I guess when I see like Jeff Bezos, who I understand that's like the richest person alive, but like Jeff Bezos, I'd be like if someone was like, well, money doesn't mean everything, and I'd be like, well, I would deal with it, right. You know,
yeah,
like,
that's kind of like, what that's I that's think if you're a single person yeah. that's looking at people in relationships, you're kind of like, yeah, like even like this is probably not perfect or as perfect as it looks, but like it's still closer than what I've got here. Do you know what I mean? Like yeah, Jeff Bezos' job still has like has a probably there's probably a lot of annoying shit that he has to do, but like.
But to me, if I made $13 billion in one day, I'd be like, money could take care of a lot of these things. I don't know if I would feel that way about like being in a my friend who's in a relationship. Well, I wouldn't.
If you think about the things that you there's someone now to go to. Go to weddings with, you have someone to like bring home with your family, you have someone to potentially like marry and have children with and like and continue your life with, and like those are
but if that person sucks, like I heard a great line on The Bachelor the other night. It was they're doing those like greatest of all time seasons.
Yeah,
this bachelor she said I'd rather what did she fucking say? It was a great line. She was like, my mom always told me you'd rather be in love than be, or you'd rather live with someone you love than live with someone you wish you didn't have to live with. Like it was something like that, or.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I know. It was something.
You'd rather be happy than not.
I know. Well, it was you'd rather be living with someone you love than living with someone you wish wasn't there. Something like that. Like, would you want to live with someone like that? That kind of does speak to this, like where you're saying like, well, I'd rather be like in the game, but like, I wouldn't want to be in the game with like a fucking partner that makes me feel awful.
No, I mean, I agree, but that's not like what I'm saying. I'm saying is that like, it's knowing that like every relationship has its ups and downs and goods and bads, but it's still like, not, I mean, if you hate the person, that's a different story. If you don't like the person, or if it's not going well, it's a different story. But like, it's going well, but like you have random struggles, or it's not as perfect as it looked on Instagram, is a different thing than like you're with someone you hate just for the Instagram picture.
Yeah, I guess like when I hear when relationships end in divorce 50% of the time, like the
that
numbers
statistic has actually decreased over the years. But
okay, well, it keeps going down, I would think, because people are being more choosy. Mm-hmm. You know, people are kind of allowed to be more choosy nowadays, rather than like, you know, like this person on your block, you know, is the one, you know, is the one right. that you is your only option. So, you know, with that going down, like that's also part of, if that statistic is going down, that's also like kind of part of what is making a lot of people miserable about being single.
Yeah. No, you I know, agree. Like, I mean, like, it's good and it's bad, like everything else sort of in the world, where it's like, yeah, you probably like if you're a struggling 30 something single woman, you probably like kind of you probably sometimes look back on like the 50s and you're like, wow, like if I were born in that generation, I'd probably be already married by now. Like it would probably be easier to meet people. There wouldn't be as much like ghosting or quote unquote hookup culture. But you also might be with like some guy that like lived on your block that you fucking hate. Like, yeah. So there's no way to know like what the,
I guess. Yeah. I guess it's like, when do you want to like, when would you rather deal with these things? Like, would you rather be single until you're like 35 and then find someone that you like genuinely connected with? Or would you rather be like married at 22 that is like pretty good, and you end up getting divorced at like 60? Or like at 50 because you're empty nest or whatever it is, and now you're like kind of living an old, you know, you're living as, you know,
you have to like live that 20-year-old life when you're 60.
60, yeah. I don't know. I mean, we're discussing it because it's worth discussing. Right. Have you been the dumper or the dumpy?
I think, generally. I mean, like I didn't feel like super closely related to either of these. I think I've been both. I think that I've been more the dumper in shorter things. Like I'll know very quickly if I'm like, I would say if I'm going to dump someone, it's probably going to be like 6 weeks in.
Got you.
Because
they're not really playing by the same.
Because that's kind of when I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like. And again, like sex for me is like kind of an attraction thing. And that's kind of long, but like that's as long as I would go before sort of being on the fence about like whether or not I was like super into someone.
Yeah, I understand that.
But yeah. I've been dumped also from a lot of 3-month things.
Yeah, so I mean, I was definitely the dumper in most cases. I mean...
Right.
And never felt the dumper got enough credit.
Justice for dumpers.
Yeah. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
10.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you want to read the email?
Yeah. I mean, I'll read the email. It's essentially what we're...
Yeah.
We just kind of said, just J&J, you make my mornings enjoyable, and I often find myself laughing out loud. So thanks for doing the podcast. Last episode, you guys talked about people who seem to always be in relationships and those who always seem to be single. Jared gave advice for people to say no and have taste, but what about those of us who have no trouble saying no? Here's the question. Why do you think there are people who are always the dumper and always who always seem to be the dumpy? I ask mostly because I've never been broken up with. I don't think I'm some phenomenal human or anything, but the guys I date never break up with me. I'm always the one to end things. I even had a divorce a few years ago. It was initiated by me.
Your papers are served, sir.
Right. Right now I'm in a really great relationship and I think it's the match. I get curious why I'm always the one to end things. My friends say it's good because it means I know what I want, but I don't know about that, honestly. I know what I don't want.
Isn't that the same?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You're kind of like, oh, like I have like a provision for every quality I want versus like I've tried all these qualities and they kind of suck. So at what's your take on this idea?
I mean, at least she knows something. Like, that's I think that's a positive. I know what I don't want is a positive. Like,
that's true. You're working with something.
Yeah.
So what's your take on this idea? People who almost always get dumped / are the dumper. Excited to hear what you have to say. Sincerely, chronic dumper.
Well, I'm glad we had a good discussion before this because my answer is the same as the last podcast. I think dumper and dumpy is all about insecurities on both sides. That's like, and I know this is kind of like the boring answer. People want to like, I kind of get the vibe from an email like this. It's like, crush the dumpers or crush the dumpies. But I'm like, and it's the same thing as the relationship people. I don't think someone in a relationship all the time is better than someone not in a relationship all the time. And I feel the same for people who get dumped and people who do the dumping. Like, I don't think there's one side is stronger necessarily than the other. I think it's all insecurities. I think people end things. I mean, for me, my insecurities, I'd rather end things too soon than get long into something that might not be right. And for the other side, when people get dumped, sometimes people would rather let things go too long than have to be out there single again looking for something better. Like, I think it's all also like has to do. And I'll shut up in a second, but has to do a lot with what you think, like the idea of like when you end something, you're thinking, okay, I'm taking a chance that I will find something better for me.
Right.
And when you stay in something, your perspective, I would assume, is that I don't want to have to go out there and find something that might be worse for me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I think it's, the two people are the same fucked up, you know, like, but they're just looking, it's glass half full, glass half empty, right?
Right. Well, I think like I kind of feel like there's like a million reasons why one person could be in said position a lot of the time. I do think in an ideal world, like it would almost be 50-50. You would be getting dumped just as much as you were dumping if everyone had the same level of like again, like insecurity problems or emotional issues. Like I think that if you're I don't think it's good to be on either end of the spectrum like too much, because I think if you're always the dumper, there is something about like, oh, I'm always kind of like looking for the next best thing, which might not exist, and I do think that gets some people in trouble. Or if you're always the dumpy, it kind of feels like you might like settle for anything and you really just like want to be in that relationship.
Also, this is kind of to the whole conversation about love languages. I would assume that dumpers match with dumpies.
That's kind of like that book Attached that I would talk about.
Yes,
like the person the person who's anxious is usually finding the person who's like kind of avoidant. So the person who's like really wants to be in a relationship and is kind of codependent is kind of finding this person and sort of attracted to this person who's sort of keeping them at arm's length and is more likely to be the dumper because they're kind of like, oh, there's always going to be something else out there that's better.
Yeah. And I mean, to this person writing in, like, wouldn't that be like reading that book Attached would probably be a great thing? Cause it's like, I would think that book and finding out, you know, what version of dater you are.
Right.
That's just letting you know, hey, this is something I got to work on. This is my personality trait that I kind of lack on. You know, we all have things that we're good and, you know, like we all have our, like I have my own confidence issues and I'm self-conscious as much as the next person, but my version of self-conscious is different than your version and different than Jess and different.
Right. Displays itself in different ways.
Yeah. And I think these are one of those things where it's like, you go, well, I'm always the dumper. If you were like one of those people, like I'm not one of these people. I mean, I guess I am sometimes, but like if you go to therapy, mm-hmm. and you say, well, this is the thing I need to work on. Like some people love to like find that thing and like for like and go, that's the thing I'm going to be reading about and looking into.
Yeah.
And like maybe that could answer this woman's question. Or you go, all right, I'm a little fucked up, but that's kind of why I like this guy. And he's a little fucked up. And this fuck up kind of, you know, these are two
works
fucked up
us.
Puzzle pieces. Yeah. I mean, it kind of relationships are like finding where your fuck ups mesh together. Like you're kind of like becoming each other's crutch at a certain point, right?
Right. But I also think you can help someone sort of like, there are certain the way you get into, I think, a toxic relationship is that you find someone who's fucked up is a puzzle piece with your level of fucked up in a very like bad, intensive way.
Yeah,
so I think that's good
yeah,
to
that's
a certain, sometimes it works.
Sure.
It's kind of like that and it works, but sometimes it just kind of leads you into this situation of like you just keep dating the same people who keep like treating you in the same way and you're kind of like, well, it works because like we're still kind of here.
Yeah.
But
fucked up,
it doesn't
fucked
really
up
work.
Yeah, you're right. Fucked up can be fun until it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that like if you find yourself continuously in one way or the other, I think it's probably not ideal. I think that like, and again, like I said in the beginning, I think it's probably better to be in a situation where you kind of have a standard and you know sort of what you want and you kind of know when you find it. So you're not always looking for the next best thing. But again, like you're also able to leave when you know that like this isn't a really good match for you. And you have, like you said, the confidence to know that you'll meet someone who is a better match for you.
Yeah, it's two different versions of self-conscious, like of confidence and lack thereof. And I think if anyone listening to this podcast, you can know that there are single people out there, you know, like that, with that, you know, that there are looking and wanting to be in relationships. So like knowing the amount of people that listen to this, like you're going to find that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you want to do some awkward sex?
Let's do it.
Send it in to UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. I really like this awkward sex, I got to say, Jordana.
Yeah?
I was really, I showed it to Jess and we laughed about it for a while.
This was pretty funny.
You ready?
You guys, I have to say, I read a lot of the submissions. This one was good. I think if you have a story about someone throwing up while having sex, we've already heard that one. I'm looking for something a little more interesting. We try not to repeat. So I do appreciate. Just make sure if you're submitting these that you don't have to know you personally to think it's really funny.
See, I don't read the emails, but I read them for my podcast, and I know some of the stories. I know exactly what you're talking about, and some of the stories. You know, listen, I just because someone texts you they're cackling doesn't mean they're cackling,
right? But thank you for submitting. We appreciate it. But
with that being said, please keep sending them in to uup@betches.com. Are you ready?
Yes.
J&J, awkward sex stories from the summer of 2018. Here's another thing. It's a great, it's a well-written email. Gets right into it. Love it. Into it.
Yes.
Summer 2018, I had met this guy on Bumble. We started a hookup buddy situation. One night, maybe the third or fourth time I had seen him, he came over. We hooked up on the couch in my living room. After I got up from the couch to walk from the living room to the kitchen to grab some paper towels for possible drippage. So drippage means they had sex on the couch.
Yes.
Don't worry. The couch was covered in blankets and safe. Blankets covering the couch isn't really safe.
Safe for what? Like,
I would want towels
protecting
on
the
couch. Yeah, from the drippage.
Well, then you have to clean the blankets, but whatever.
I'd rather clean towels than blankets.
Makes you think everyone's couch is probably disgusting.
I live in a that used couch you bought is not doing well.
I wouldn't do that. Yeah.
I live in a townhouse, so I was walking through essentially half the house to get to the kitchen. For some reason, I thought that it would be effective to jog to the kitchen, even though it couldn't have been more than 8 steps away. I took 3 jog steps and made it to the middle of the house where the dining area was and felt something trickle down my leg. Before I knew it, a globby river of cum poured down my leg. I promptly stepped into it, slipped, legs in the air, cartoon style, and fell on my ass. I was mortified and felt myself getting uncomfortably red as I looked up to see my hookup buddy pressing his hands to his mouth to keep from laughing. I sat in the puddle of cum with my mouth open and tailbone aching as this dude, who I had been trying so hard to impress, walked towards me with his hands outstretched, laughing. He helped me up, and the only thing I could choke out at the time was a weak thank you. We grabbed paper towels and cleaned up the sticky mess. Fast forward, he and I started dating after a summer of ambiguity, and we're still together now. We made it through 5 weeks of quarantine cohabitation. Last year, I brought up the night of the cum slip, and he admitted he thought I had peed myself and still thinks I peed myself. All I'll say is, I think I know what it feels like when something is coming out of my urethra versus my vagina. Also, it wasn't just pee. Anyways,
It just wasn't.
We'll discuss this in a second. Anyways, things worked out, and I'd happily slip on cum again if that was the thing that helped me trap this guy. XOXO, cum slipper. What do you think, Jordana?
I think this story is like really cute in a like very sexual way.
I love this story. Now, from a male perspective, the idea of cum being released from the vagina is very foreign to us as this guy. Well, I'm saying this guy and myself, I will be the idiot.
You did not know that you thought it just all stays up there?
Well, the way they explain it to you in health class is that you come and it just like shoots up and pregnant right away. Like it's just like... just like shoots up directly to your eyeball and just, you know, whatever. I didn't know until I became sexually active.
It's so funny how little, again, men know about women's bodies.
I'm being totally honest. I'm being vulnerable right now. You're making me feel a little bit judged, but that's okay.
No, I mean, no judgment. No judgment. I love our little health class segments.
Well, I'm just saying most men don't know the nature, like, listen, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus around here, but, you know, Jess and I will have sex and then like an hour later, she'll be like, and there comes the cum. And I'll be like, what? Like, I didn't realize there were, like, trap doors. Yeah, I didn't. Well, I mean, also, like, it goes up, and then, like, sometimes it isn't gravity. Sometimes it's, like, the scene from, like, Scary Movie where he comes and it, like, sticks to the ceiling and then never comes off the ceiling. Like, I would agree. Like, I've seen my own cum. Some is a watery mess. Some is more gooey. I have different cum days.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like, in order, I mean, like, obviously some of it stays up there. In order to get pregnant, some of it would have to stay in your body. But a lot of it comes out just, like, in a gravity-type fashion. And that's also, I mean, even when you walk to the bathroom after sex, like, things just come out.
So that's the surprising part, is that it goes in, and then a lot, and then it'll, like I've had the situation where she'll, like, scamper off and be like, oh, it's coming down my leg. And I'll be like, okay. But then it's not all of it. Sometimes,
like, oh, it's not. Yeah, no. Some of it will stay up there.
And then come, like, out later. It'll be like, hello. Yeah. I didn't. This is a mystery to most men.
Okay.
Jess just popped in and said, when I make her laugh, it really comes out.
Well, you're probably, like, her abdomen is probably shaking, and then some of it gets, like, falls out.
This all makes sense. Like, I don't, like, hear that and go, no, but I've never thought of that to happen before getting into a sexually active lifestyle.
Right. Well, it's funny. I think I've seen movies where, like, women are trying to get pregnant, and, like, afterwards, they'll kind of just, like, lie there for a bit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they'll stay
yeah.
on their back so that it doesn't come out, so that you have more of a chance of getting pregnant, because, like, more, I guess, is, like, staying in your body and giving it a chance to, like, hit that egg.
I guess that scene is generally not in movies. I could be corrected. There's that scene where the sex happens and then the couple goes to the coffee shop and she goes, oh, your cum is coming down. Your cum just came out. Like, that scene doesn't exist.
That scene definitely doesn't exist. But yeah, that's a real thing.
But that's kind of where, like, people generally learn, like a lot of their information is from, like, entertainment, movies, TV. Like,
right.
You know, like, health class, you hear cum goes in, baby. Like, and then you're like, I got to fucking study for the quiz.
There's actually, I mean, I don't know what they are because I'm not trying to get pregnant, but there are certain positions that are, like, make it more likely that you will have a baby. And I think that those are also taking, like, gravity into consideration. Like,
yeah,
you know, not like on girl on top, because, again, like, more likely if you're on top, you're like, it's more likely to fall out.
Sure. I just never, like, it is funny that I could, like, flick my girlfriend and she'd be like, whoa, the cum's coming out. Like, like, ding, 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 ding. You know, like, and this girl, the way she tells the story is so perfect, because she's like, I took a little, she said, I couldn't have been more eight steps away. I took 3 jog steps. I would understand a jog step would create a situation where the cum would be jostled out of her vagina.
Right. Yeah.
And then it fell, and then
it's supposed to have been a lot that she slipped on it.
Now, for you, Jordana, what is your situation with this? Have you ever had this happen before?
I mean, it's same as Jess. Like, it comes out of your body. I've never had, like, it go onto the floor and then, like, I've, like, it's been like a slip and slide. Yeah. But that's why I called this one the slip and semen.
I like it. The idea of her doing, like, you know, 3 stooges, like,
right. You know, usually it's just kind of like a little on your leg, and then you just wipe it off and you continue about your day.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it might come out like a little later when you least expect it.
Well, there's this thing of, like, it's funny that you'll hear from women a lot, like, a guy, like, coming on their chest and then they just throw a towel at them. And it's like, ooh, what a gentleman, you know, like, whatever, like, you know. But guys have that happen too, where it's like a towel's thrown at us, as far as, like, you know, clean yourself up, kid.
Well, yeah, I'll just, like, toss a tissue box. As I head into the bathroom, I'll just be like, and you take this.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'll leave.
Yeah,
I don't want that on my sheets.
I did in my day. I've always thought it was a nice touch when you get done with sex and a woman will take a towel and put it under the warm water of the sink and come back with that. Like that is, I've had that happen. Oh,
that's like a
that's a little
first,
tip
first
to all the
class. Late.
That yeah, it does feel like
warm towel.
It does kind of feel like you're in Delta One, you know, in the lay down
seats. Chocolate
chip
cookies and warm towels for your penis.
Oh, thank you. And you wrap. What I do is I'll wrap my penis like it's a hair towel around my balls.
Like you're at a
dick.
Nice resort.
Yeah, just like taking the day. I have some names. If you'd like,
what's yours?
What were you? Yours was
mine. Was the slip and semen.
Yeah, I like that one. Sex yours? Slip, puddle of cum, goo glide, splooge slip, risky business because it's like sliding.
Oh,
across.
I like that.
Fat load landing, and the last one is the cum down.
The cum down. That might be my
that
favorite.
So well. Listen, red flag or deal breaker. Let's say a guy comes, it drips off his dick while he's running away.
While he's running away from me.
He slips on the floor on cum. Would you be turned off? Like it makes sense that they're like still together.
I think it would be like kind of like cute and funny and like fine and like that's funny. I'd be like, that's what happens when you walk away from me.
Yeah. I saw an adult woman fall on a skateboard the other day, and that's way more embarrassing than falling on cum.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen, my nephew has one of those like hoverboard things.
What do you mean?
You know, like the things, they used to have them a lot on like the streets. Like it almost looks like it's like a skateboard, but it's like almost like a Segway without the handle.
Yeah. I'm aware.
And you go, if you don't know what you're doing, you get on one of those things, you just fall immediately.
Yeah, well, your nephew falling on, how old's your nephew?
He's like 12.
Yeah,
but
a 12-year-old should be falling on a hoverboard.
When it's
a 40-year-old, yeah, when it's you,
it's
30,
not cute.
It's not cute. It's like, oh man, why are you on a hoverboard anyways?
Right,
yeah,
I feel like quite a loser.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'd be fine.
Yeah,
what about
I'm totally cool with it. I would laugh.
You thought it was pee?
I would be a little bit more, I would want to know more. I don't know why she's like letting him think it's pee. Like
maybe she just assumed that he knew. It seems like she didn't find out until after. She's like, when she brought it up months later.
No, and he admitted that he thought I had peed myself and still thinks I peed myself.
Right.
So like.
So he didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know. I think it's okay to let him know. I think he should know. That there's some sort of, I think if you're dating someone, let the guy know the cum quandary that you guys are all in after sex.
Right. I mean, it's hit. Could you sue if it's his semen?
I guess an unkept
like
workspace.
Caution, yeah. Wet floor.
What if there was a sign? Yeah, he puts down one of those triangle signs.
He has one ready to go just because this happens a lot. That might be a deal breaker.
Yeah. Hey, watch out for that spot. Women slip on their cum there.
Oh, my God.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
Yeah. Hey, J&J, longtime listener, first time writer. The story is literally so crazy. I'm just diving into the email. I went on a first date this weekend at a popular beer garden with this guy. Let's call him Ryan. Things were going really well, but because of COVID, they had a 2-hour time limit on tables. So when our time ran out, we went to a nearby wine bar. At this point, the date is going really well. I can tell we're both having fun. After about 30 minutes of walking around, we get off the wait list for a table on the patio and get seated across the walkway from two girls. The tables were a bit staggered, with him sitting with his back to them and me sitting facing them. I noticed that they kept looking our way and were staring very hard at us. After about 30 minutes, they sent me a glass of wine and started complimenting my outfit from across the walkway. He's clearly made uncomfortable by this, and the whole thing was super weird. I go to the bathroom as they are finishing up, and as I came out of the stall, one of the girls corners me as I'm washing my hands. She proceeds to ask me if I'm here on a date with Ryan, and when I said yes, she told me that she dated him a few months ago, and he ghosted her. She began trying to convince me to leave him and not go back to the table, then said that she thinks we would be good friends had we met in any other situation. She leaves me a note on a napkin that was her phone that has her phone number written on it. I was pretty drunk at this point, so I was just going with it as I had no clue what to do. I thanked her for warning me, gave her my phone number, and went back out to the table. After I got back to the table, my date was clearly a little tense. The girls left soon after, and he brought up the situation, saying that he saw her follow me into the bathroom and was sure that she was telling me to leave the date. He told me that they had gone on a few dates and hooked up once, but he wanted to end it when he realized they wanted different things and weren't compatible. He acknowledged that he probably made a mistake, and I thought he was really mature about the whole situation, given how weird and uncomfortable it all was. I responded by telling him that I'm not looking for something serious, just wanting to test the waters again as I just got back to the city we live in after being quarantined at home for months. The girl was clearly very much not over him, and I feel like a warning about ghosting is a little dramatic and not super representative of someone's character. As Jared has said before, everyone is the villain in someone's story, so this wasn't a huge red flag for me, and I think I played my cards right by not freaking out on this guy or making it a big deal. Fast forward to the next afternoon, and both the girls followed me on Instagram. Super weird. I didn't follow them back, but was a little freaked out that they went out of their way to find and follow me. The date ended super well, and we made plans to see each other this week. Aside from getting John Tucker Must Died, I had a really nice time with him and could tell the feeling is mutual. I think I handled the situation as best that I could, but I wanted to write to you guys and ask if you think this is a red flag, a deal breaker, or something I shouldn't worry about at all. Right now, I feel like I have this filed in the back of my mind and have my guard up, but I'm still willing to give him a shot. Is this crazy of me? Is she crazy? Is he going to fuck me over? Would love your opinions on how to behave after this experience. Thanks for your help. Love the podcast.
So I think that's another fantastic email. I have some thoughts. My initial thought is like, this is how confusing female relationships are.
Like, with each other?
With each other. like the idea that, like, I think we could be good friends. Like, she couldn't just leave it at, hey, I'm looking out for another woman. Good luck with that one. Like, then she has to follow her on Instagram and, like, exchange. Like, the idea that they'd become good friends from this, I'm like, why? I don't know why that step is taken. And it's like, I could tell right. that by the way you dress that we'd be good, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, that part that, is this is all really
makes,
weird.
That makes me uncomfortable. That's it. Feels like there's some sort of like angling.
I think that's what this girl is doing to sort of like disarm her and sort of like try to like overcompensate for the fact that she's like sort of is in a way competing with her or has a. Mm-hmm. If she's not over this guy, she's competing with her for this guy, or she's trying to like sort of bring her to her side by making this artificial like friendship thing, which is clearly like a bullshit thing, but I can see why she's doing it to be like, we're like a team, like we shouldn't like be fighting with each other, like we should be angry at him.
Well, that's kind of the I think the woman who wrote in handled this as best she could. I agree with her. I also think that it's not between her and they're not team them versus this guy. Like, that's not it at all. Like, it is this person feels that she was slighted, which she was. It seems that the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Right. Well, the guy admits that he ghosted her essentially to this girl. So fine. Okay. Yeah. So he ghosted this girl, and then it really came back to haunt him.
Yeah.
So in that girl's way, like, fine, she got her revenge against this guy because he had to deal with it. Usually, yeah, like, the whole reason you ghost someone is it so you don't have to deal with them.
I agree, but also, like, there's no way to get someone who ghosted you because they cared so little about you.
Well, if you could get them, this would, you're basically, you're not getting them in the way that they're like now feeling like any better towards you, but you're getting them in the way that like there's a punishment in her mind. She's like, yes, he had to pay in a way by now having to deal with me.
Yeah.
With this other girl.
Yeah. I, to me, that's like, she lowered herself to him at that point. Like, and I know that's not like a fun answer. Like, You know,
yeah, she didn't take the high road at all.
And the high road's way less fun. The high road's way less juicy. She took the immature route that he took. He took an immature route by not ending it. And she took an immature route by being like, well, let me befriend, you know, his new girl so he can't fuck again, which he will. That's just, you know.
To me, this screams like 22 and like kind of immature. And like, I kind of get it because like, I feel like I had a lot of these like sort of dramatic tendencies at a younger age. I've never done this, but I've definitely like confronted girls like in college who like I felt like had that's what I'm also thinking. Like you were, because you said you told me to like look out for this email.
Yeah.
And you were like, would you ever do something like this? And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, would I do something like this now? Like, I hope not. But like, would I do some things like this at like 21? Like if I was out with my friend and we were drinking and we were like getting drunk and we were like, oh, there's that fucking guy. Like, let's have a good time, like messing with him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can see, I don't think it's like so far from anything I would ever do that I can say that like,
well,
this girl's like a complete lunatic.
Also, this, it is a little bit narcissistic. Because in this woman's world, the one that got ghosted that approaches the new girl, she's saying, well, if he'll ghost me, he'll definitely ghost you. And that's just not how it works. It's not, you know, one ghosting is not connected to the next necessarily.
Yeah, it's not like she's saying, like, this guy, like, I agree that part is, I mean, it is revealing sort of like a somewhat of a character flaw in this guy. It's not like a necessarily deal breaker character flaw that he's ghosted anyone in his past ever. I think that we've all had instances of at least like a micro ghosting situation where like you might not. And again, I think also think people define ghosting differently.
Yeah, this is definitely not a deal breaker. If this was, if the roles were reversed and I was at a bar and a guy came up to me and was like, yo, that girl ghosted me, I would go, I would like think of it as like leaving the house during COVID. Like, is this, that's a pre-existing condition.
Right.
You know, like,
what if he said like, I used to date that girl, she cheated on me.
I'd take it into consideration, but it wouldn't be, that's not my.
Or that girl, like was like verbally abusive to me.
Again, take it into consideration. I would more, like, it would be more worrisome to me that woman stole from me, that woman hit me, that one, you know, these are, like, to me, to me, addiction.
Well, that's something you would be able to handle if it happened to you.
What's that?
I'm saying, like, if this person, you kind of wouldn't be like, that's not, like, your greatest fear.
Sure, but I'm saying I would say like there's like if he was like, yeah, listen, I just want to let you know she is an alcoholic. That would be different to me than she ghosted me, because to me one's an addiction and a sickness, and the other, like, a ghosting isn't as much of a sickness. Like, and like cheating can be a sickness. It can be that you're like addicted to sex or whatever, but like cheating also can be the result of like a relationship that lacked communication, that lacked, you know, so many things.
Right. You'd need to know a little bit more about the situation, kind of. And again, like to feel like the person like did, I think it's something you could definitely ask the person about and want to feel like, even if they did it, that again, it was like more situational and less of a thing that they think is okay. Which I think she kind of found out with this guy, because he was like, yeah, like he didn't deny it. He was like, yeah, I did that. It wasn't like my finest moment.
Sure. I mean, I've had that. I've said this on this podcast. I've ghosted people and felt bad about it. And it was never because of the person. It was always just because I was too mature to say something or afraid. And I think for this guy, like, you're seeing that, like, He's human. He has the ability to be immature. Maybe he's learned from it. Maybe he felt he was sitting there on the date with you going, man, this was a learning experience. I'm paying for it now in an awkward situation, and I'm going to make sure that that is something I mean, we all have or should be right. awarded some sort of retribution. I would call it
a red flag, though. I don't think it would be like nothing. It would still be like something that I would like keep in the back of my mind. And I think it would have to be combined with other questionable acts on this person's behalf.
Yeah,
to like make it fully into a deal breaker. But I do think it would like it would raise a little flag of like, this is like not totally normal.
It goes on the resume. That's it. You know, like it, to me, you know, yeah, same as you. I agree with you completely. Like, now I have this question, and this is might be a weird question. Does this maybe make him more attractive to the woman?
Like, he's able to drive women crazy.
Yeah, like is there an element of like, man, this guy she was so into him.
I think if this girl is like also a little bit immature, then yeah, that's okay. Hot. Like I'm saying, like I have like those tendencies, so I see that too. Where I'm like, okay, like there's people who like really are really invested in this guy, and like this is, and also like if you're someone who likes drama a little bit, which again, that's one of my, I would say, not most favorable qualities. Like I do like a little drama. It would kind of, it adds to that feeling like you're in a rom-com, you're in John Tucker Must Die. Sure. Like your life is like exciting. And like, you know what I mean? You've got the most interesting brunch table story and like you're dating and you're seeing this guy who like may have chosen you, who's rejected others. So he's like, but I don't think that that's a good way. I think that that's like a very immature way of thinking about this thing. Like in reality, like you want a guy who's nice to everyone and not just you when he wants to sleep with you.
Yeah.
So that's why it would be a red flag if you're thinking about it logically. But I can also see a situation where it's kind of hot.
Here's the other thing. And for her, for this woman, I would ask, did they fuck or just hook up? Like,
yeah, you want more details.
I would want more. But that's an important detail because it would be like, oh, are you someone that will ghost after a fuck? Like, are you using the elements of dating that go into making a relationship to get laid? And that's something we've talked about on this podcast mm-hmm. before, where it's like when these guys or girls act as if, do all the moves of being someone who's looking for a relationship, and then the minute they come and maybe dribble
they're
it
out
on the floor,
yeah,
they skid out the door, you know, like they do a
Bart
Simpson.
That's what I'm saying. Now my I don't think it's like totally crazy for her to ask like, should I have my guard up? I think it's kind of like, yeah, this is something that you should consider.
Yeah, I agree.
I wouldn't totally ignore it.
Yeah, I'm with you. This isn't nothing,
right? Yeah. Like if you went down the line and you married and had three kids with him, and then he wound up like just leaving and you never heard a trace from him, this might be something that you would like look back on and say like, I should have known when on our first date this girl told me that he left and never said anything.
I agree.
He's a good reference.
Let's do another email. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP@betches.com. I have a unique situation I don't think y'all have ever touched on, though. Okay. I have been seeing this guy for a couple months now, and we just recently decided to be exclusive. Since this, he has moved into his newly purchased condo. To my dismay, his permanent downstairs neighbor is an attractive single mother of two in her 30s. He is 29. Since meeting, I noticed they have quickly gotten very friendly, i.e. asking each other if they need things from the store, asking him if he can help fix her son's Xbox, and she even recently asked him if he could watch her kids for the day out of a last-minute desperation, including running errands and making dinner for them. Man, this neighbor is very needy to me.
Right. She's got a lot of
I mean, he always has been open about the situation, but tells me after the fact when he has already helped her. I have told him that her asking these things and him saying yes makes me very uncomfortable. However, he is a nice guy, and if he is able to help someone out, he always will. So I don't know if I can ask him to change that. He was transparent with me, with her, that he is seeing me after she asked for the babysitting favor. I haven't had a chance to meet her yet, but still said yes to watching them after knowing I was uncomfortable with their dynamic and telling me after the fact. I guess my overarching question would be, what do y'all think the boundaries should be on male-female friendships, especially new ones that are in such close proximity? I've gotten so many different opinions from my friends on the situation. I would love to hear y'all's perspective. Am I being insecure, and should I just trust them? Or is this unacceptable behavior at this point in our new dynamic, and should I just run while I can? Looking forward to hopefully getting further insight into this very frustrating situation. What do you think?
This is funny because before the show, we were kind of talking about like the idea of the hot nanny.
Mm.
And it kind of reminds me of that a little bit. Of this, like, what is our tolerance for like hot people around the people that we are dating?
I will not have you hanging out with hot people. You got to hang out with me, regular looking me, forever. Yeah, I don't know.
We're like, you know, like, how much should we police the people that like, or the temptations that are around the people that we're dating?
Yeah, I'm in the defund the relationship police camp. I think there's nothing to be gained out of jealousy. Like I kind of live in like, if someone's gonna run away with someone, they're gonna run away with someone. Like, there's no like,
right, stopping them by like cutting off their contact.
Yeah, and I think kind of being, and I don't mean this word to be offensive to her, but being a little overbearing on him helping out a single mother, which I think the mother is being a little bit, the mother is in the wrong. She's asking for a lot out of a new neighbor. That's,
but she's asking for that because the guy also seems like very like down and willing, it seems. So like,
I don't think he moved into his newly bought apartment and then knocked on her door and was like, hey, I'm the new neighbor. If you need anything, I am here. If you need a babysitter, an errand, an Xbox fixer, like I don't think that's happening. That can't be happening.
I guess. But every time she asks, he's not usually like, if you have to say no a few times before someone's like, oh, I'm not, this person isn't interested in like helping me in this way. Regularly.
Yeah, I mean, in an emergency babysitting situation, I can understand, like, if my neighbor ran here and was knocking on the door, I would hide. Personally, I'm not that nice.
And this is New York City. No one is leaving their kids with their upstairs neighbor.
I have legitimately done that. I've heard a knock at the door, and I'm like, no, quiet down.
Oh my God.
Not going to admit.
I think last week when we recorded, the person ringing the doorbell was this woman being like, my cat is like, gone. Like, have you seen my cat? She's usually just in the hallway, and sometimes people just take them into her apartment. And we were like, get out of here. Like, yeah, no, I haven't seen your cat in the hallway. And if I did, I certainly wouldn't like, I certainly wouldn't let it into my apartment and like watch
get
it.
Get out of here, cat woman. Scat.
No, it's just funny. She was like, have you seen the cat? Like, usually it's just in the hallway. We're like, why would you let your cat be in like the communal hallway? If I saw it, I wouldn't take it into my apartment. I would like call management and make them like,
yeah, we have a stray. Get it out of here and kill it. Yeah.
It's just funny. It was like, do you know what city you're living in? Like,
yeah, you invited me to your pool and you got cats just running around the hallways. I don't know about that pool.
That's what I'm saying. It was very out of
That's weird. That's like out of like 30 Rock or like Kimmy Schmidt. So what would you do in this situation? Would you be uncomfortable?
I think it's the kind of thing where like, it might be like very slightly uncomfortable, but again, I am sort of in your boat of like, I would have to remind myself that, again, if the person's going to run away with this person, they're going to do it. And there's nothing, there's no like interference that I could do that would really like stop the situation from happening. So I just kind of have to like, each kind of roll the dice and like.
Yeah. Good luck with your instant family.
Would it make you uncomfortable either, if Jess was babysitting some like hot neighbor's dog?
Here's what I would want. It's only as uncomfortable as the person is unwilling to share the person with you. So if you're in a relationship, part of a relationship is like sharing your friendships, is sharing your life with that person. So like if I had a friend that Jess heard of that I was doing all these errands for and she was like, why don't we all get together? And I was like, well, no.
Right.
Like I then that's a problem.
Or if you were like not hanging out with her so that you could do these errands for this other person, I think that would also be like something that you would have more of a right to like be like, hey, like I know you said you couldn't come to this thing because you were like watching this kid that's not yours. Like I do think if we're in a relationship, like I should probably come before this other
Not your kid. Yeah.
Right.
before the neighbor's kid that you met a day ago. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that that's where the division comes. I think like if I'm her, like, hey, introduce me to the downstairs neighbor. Make me feel more comfortable because it's just weird that like you have this relationship with someone that's like out of the blue. Like she seems cute. I know she's got a couple kids and you've been helpful to her. Like it makes me love you or like you even more that you're so nice to this person. But I want to like be included in this relationship, especially if it's a new friend.
Right. It's funny that you're like advocating for the exact thing that you thought made the girl in the first email totally crazy.
Well, you're like,
use this friendship to disarm like the stigma of this other person and you competing over this man. And now you're like, just be your, like, make sure he makes you friends.
Well, I don't
obviously
think
it's different.
Be friends.
Obviously, it's different. But I just think it's funny that like last time we were like, this crazy girl wants to be your friend, even though you're like talking to the same guy.
I agree with you. It's very close, but it's one click away, and the click is that you three all know each other. Like,
right?
It's weird to like have a boyfriend who's like. Oh, and the person downstairs, and like this has this character in their life. Like they got a Mr. Roper, you know, like the neighbor, like you have like Kimmy Gibbler downstairs and like you only know Kimmy Gibbler from like nothing, you know, like that would be, you know, it's like I would want to know, okay, well tell Kimmy to come over. Like, let me feel more comfortable with the dynamic. And then if Kimmy came over and was like all over my boyfriend or whatever, I'd be like, hey,
that made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, that, and now you have like a real thing. Right now she's jealous of a fictional relationship that she's invented. And I don't think she's crazy. I'm not saying she's some sort of like crazed woman. I'm just saying when you extrapolate him helping with an emergency babysitting situation because she had no one else. What if they run away together? I think that's an invention of your own insecurities.
Right. And then also if they run away together, then like they run away together. And like,
now you know
quicker that he's prone to running away.
Yeah. I hope he's got a coupon for Pampers.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. Keep sending your red flag deal breakers.
Okay. Red flag or deal breaker? Is it a red flag or deal breaker if your partner's ex moves into the same apartment complex as them?
Nothing to me.
Neither?
No, it's a little uncomfortable, but like if it's an ex, it's an ex. Like,
even
I don't think
they're friendly?
I think them being friendly is better than them not being friendly. Hey, good to see you.
I think it would be like, I'd have to know more about the relationship. Like, also, that's not really you're not really in control of that. It's like one thing if you're like inviting, you're like, oh, I'm trying to get my ex an apartment.
Yeah.
In this different building. Different story. It's a different story than like they happen to move into one of three. Yeah.
If they were like, I get a referral bonus on my first on the first month if they move in, it's like, okay, you don't need the money that much. You know, like that would be, that'd be too much. The ex in the same complex, I'm like, if you can't get through that, then you got other issues.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, especially if it's like, again, the person's not like invite, like they just happen to, you have no control over that.
That's a different scenario. If I was saying, hey, Jordana, my ex is moving into my complex because I helped them get their first, I get my 1 month free for them moving in. I'd be like, how long did you guys discuss this for?
You know, you're not writing the letter to the condo board.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Okay. Red flag deal breaker. Their parents show up to your first virtual date.
So we're having a FaceTime date. And then I'm like, oh, you want my parents are like actually in the next room. Well, and then they pop in.
I think it's different. Want to meet my parents is different than a mom going, what's this? You're doing the Zoom? Like, I imagined it as, like, annoying
parent. What if the mom
pops
into the Zoom, and then you're like, well, I'm like, and Jared, this is my mom. And then, like, I allow my mom to just continue, like, talking to you for, like, 5 to 10 minutes.
I would think it was funny. It wouldn't be, the problem would become, like, would that person see me deal? Here's the thing. If a mom came into the Zoom virtual date that and the guy was nice about it, that doesn't mean he likes you more. It doesn't mean he likes you less. I think it's just him dealing with the situation at hand and being a gentleman about it.
What if his parents pop in? Does that mean
same deal?
Doesn't mean anything.
Oh, hey, it would be funny. Like if as long as everyone's laughing and like there's an element of like realizing the ridiculousness of the situation.
What if her parents were like asking you what your intentions were and were like super serious? When they popped in the virtual date.
I plan to get blown as soon as this whole COVID thing washes over.
And then the laptop closes.
Goodbye. Yeah. If they did that, I would be like, oh, this is never going to have a chance to be fun. Like,
right.
Where's our fun? Nowhere. Where's our sexy?
Especially if you can't even protect me from like this awkward intensive questioning that's happening.
Yeah. If you're just allowing this to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Red flag or deal breaker. You're dating for 2 months and they try to pop a zit on your back while you're asleep.
I actually think this is a good thing.
What?
It's a good thing because then it allows for every other bodily thing as on the, like, if they're willing to pop a zit, I'm getting a back scratch. Like I think it's like if that's something that they like jump into, farts are in, back scratches are in, back rubs are in. I'm thinking
while
of this in a very selfish
though?
Way. When I'm sleeping, it's a little much, but I it's not a deal breaker. How about you?
You're into it, in fact.
I'm not.
I think it would definitely be a red flag. I don't like the idea of anyone doing anything to my body while I'm sleeping.
Sure. We've heard that you're a very particular sleeper.
That and just like boundaries.
Yeah, I understand that.
I wouldn't mind. If there was a wake and they just like asked me, I think I'd be like, okay. Or if I did it, I would do it to them. Like if I were to ask them, I think they'd be fine. I think any sort of sleep violation is a little weird.
Serious cause for concern.
Exactly.
Well, that's our episode today. Jordana, we did it again. We solved it all.
We did it. Next week, I have a fun topic for us to discuss about canceling dates in COVID. A lot of cancellations going on out there.
It's that time of year. Keep sending your emails, UUP@betches.com, and we'll be back next episode. Boom.
Bye.
U Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levian.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@betches.com.
Betches.